Well, it's been an amazing few weeks of looking into what Paul has written to this church in Corinth. And judging by all of the events and decisions that were made this week, we really need to be able to focus and to keep the main thing the main thing. And so we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and today we'll look at 14. But I want to just remind us that this is a letter that Paul wrote to his church. It's a full letter. He didn't write it in with chapter numbers and verse numbers. It was all one thing. And so sometimes when we look at scripture, you know, we turn to a chapter that begins and we look at the first verse as if it's a brand new topic. And it isn't always a brand new topic, but they were just always trying to figure out where is a good stopping place to help us to be able to find specific things that were written. And so it isn't always like chapter 12 is not completely separate from chapter 13, and 13 isn't completely separate from 14. They're all one topic. And Paul is referring to the gifts of the Spirit. We've just come through Pentecost not long ago. And it's hard for us to picture how weird, bizarre, overwhelming was the arrival of the Holy Spirit with these gifts that he put in us. They'd never heard of gifts being given like this before. They certainly didn't expect God to be the one that would indwell them and fill them with all of kingdom potential that he gave them. And so Paul talks about in chapter 12, as we looked at those verses, just an overview, a sampling, how there is unity and diversity. The gifts are complementary and they're greatly desirable. So Paul was trying to express to these people, to even to us obviously today, but to his church, what the gifts were and by definition what they weren't. And then when we looked last week at chapter 13, you know, we refer to that as the love chapter, as if that's a separate thing from everything else. And it's together, it's one. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are also from the heart of love of the Father for the church. And so he described these and he said, you can use all the gifts, you can take advantage of them, almost manipulate them, if you will. But as he goes on in chapter 13, he just says, I can do all of these things. I can be martyred. I can give everything. But if it's not out of love, if my starting place, my starting block is not love, then I don't accomplish anything. I am completely aside. You know, I'm a dried up stick. I'm just useless because none of this accomplishes the Father's purpose unless my starting place is one of love. And so we often refer to this as a wedding passage and whatever, and it's great for that. And it would be good if every married couple walked out what they read in chapter 13. That would help us a lot, probably. So now Paul is continuing in this letter to continue to talk about now how, what is the proper way to use gifts? What should you be doing? And so that's what we'll look at in chapter 14. So this passage, I'm looking at this and calling it Mission Course Correction. So in a letter to the church planted in Corinth just 5 years previously, Paul addresses the ungodliness plaguing the congregation there. Immaturity, instability, divisions, jealousy and envy, lawsuits, marital difficulties, sexual immorality, and misuse of spiritual gifts. His tone is sternly parental, fatherly. All these issues were painful, embarrassing, destructive. But seemingly of deepest concern to Paul was how the mission drift concerning spiritual gifts was a contributing factor in all the other problems. He focuses much of his attention on the working of the Holy Spirit and the church's wayward responding to that working. Two millennia later, his love-motivated admonitions bear repeating. And so one of the great things about Scripture always that we've mentioned quite often is how, even though it's 2,000 years old, it reads like it is something that we need for today. And as if Paul was actually addressing the issues that we deal with in our day in 2022. So here in 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, I just want to emphasize certain passages. But the first thing here, the first 19 verses, what Paul is addressing is the gifts are for strengthening the body. That's your blank. The gifts are for strengthening the body. And just want to look here just briefly in verse 12. And here Paul says, if you speak in a tongue, pray for the interpretation to be able to unfold the meaning what's happening among you? You are so passionate about embracing the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now become even more passionate about the things that strengthen the entire church. So here's the problem that was going on. Obviously, they were taking advantage of the gifts. They were using them. They were all excited. Everybody was running around doing everything and enjoying all the things that they were not able to do before. But it all ended up being self-centered. It's all for me. Don't I look good? I can build myself up because, you know, I have the gift of prophecy. And so everyone needs to bow down before me because I have this amazing gift. And we still see that in our day. You know, we elevate gifts and something as if the one who is exercising the gifts is the center of this thing. And no, this is a gift from the Father to be used for building up the church. And maybe some of us remember days when prophecy was totally running amok amongst us and horrible things were spoken and horrible things were done and lives were ruined because people were giving so-called words of prophecy that people were receiving as if, wow, this is it. And many major issues were developed because of that. And so Paul is addressing that because he said, what I hear, Paul was at this point in Ephesus, but he was getting news what was going on in this church. You know, his church, his like almost his baby. I planted this church. I built them up. I taught them. And now here we are 5 years later, and all this craziness is going on. It has nothing to do with what I taught you. And so he's saying, just as a reminder, as a course correction, you know what, guys? These gifts that you have, the Holy Spirit living in you, is for strengthening the body, the overall body, the congregation, the church. And so, yes, you're passionate about the gifts, and that's a good thing. But let's remember that really it's for building up the body of Christ and encouraging one another. And so that's been something that we've learned over time. But it's still one of those things that in our flesh we can easily get away from and forget. So the gifts, all of these amazing gifts that he's outlined for us in chapter 12, if they're not motivated by love, which he's referred to in chapter 13, then we miss the point. We miss the mark and we do damage, for Paul, as he was hearing these stories in it always amazes me back then, you know, they didn't have a postal service. So I'm not sure how word got around, but, you know, they would write these letters and there must have been couriers or something because he was a long ways away in Ephesus, but he was getting stories of the rampant misuse of gifts. And so this is why he's writing this letter, and he's addressed them in the previous chapter, some of the issues that they're dealing with. But now he spends this extended time talking about the gifts. In the second part of this chapter, verses 20 to 25, this is, the gifts are for manifesting God's presence. And you know, over and over again in the past, as there have been Holy Spirit revivals, things have, you know, gotten off course, and it's just been this massive display, and, you know, are these things of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, this is wrong, and the laughing and all that's just wrong stuff. And, you know, none of it necessarily is wrong. It's just that when we forget, and all of a sudden we want to absorb it on us, and, you know, it just becomes, you know, sometimes it turns into a freak show, which is really not what God was intending. So let me read these verses 20 to 25. Once I find them. Beloved ones, don't remain as immature children in your reasoning. As it relates to evil, be like newborns, but in your thinking, be mature adults. For it stands written in the law, I will bring my message to this people with strange tongues and foreign lips. Yet even when they still will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then, tongues are not a sign for believers, but a sign for unbelievers. Prophecy, on the other hand, is not for unbelievers, but a miracle sign for believers. If the entire church comes together and everyone is speaking in tongues, won't the visitors say that you've lost your minds? But if everyone is prophesying and an unbeliever or one without the gift enters your meeting, he will be convicted by all that he hears and will be called to account. For the intimate secrets of his heart will be brought to light. He will be mystified and fall face down in worship and say, God is truly among you. I love the way the Passion Translation puts these verses, because what Paul is saying here is, if the gifts are being expressed with love, with an understanding to building up the body, it will also impact someone that isn't of the body, someone that is a visitor, someone that doesn't understand these things, because the gifts are meant to manifest God's presence. If we are using the gifts of the Spirit in the proper way, people will recognize that, and there will be an expression of recognizing their sin. We don't need to be finger pointing or beating them over the head, you know, with the stereotypical 40-pound Bible. We just need to express God's love. And in that, they will say, surely God is present. God is among you, because it's his love, not necessarily the words that we do or what else we do. The person is going to be impacted by the love of the Father. And, you know, and so often we've seen situations and heard situations where people have basically been, you know, knocked down, you know, to make it look like they've fallen out in the Spirit, and they've been forced to do crazy things. And it's like, you know, none of that is necessary. We don't have to do that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, who's on a love mission from the Father, who greatly desires to do this. And we don't need to get into the manipulative stuff. We don't need to do wild and crazy things. Although when the Holy Spirit breaks out, it does get wild and crazy. So our problem always is keep the main thing the main thing, and don't go off the rails because the Holy Spirit makes you laugh or something. You know, those are great things, and we'd all desire that. And we used to talk about doing carpet time, you know, just getting knocked down in the Spirit and whatever. And those are wonderful things if the Holy Spirit shows up. But when we force it, when we say, but this is what you must do, and we're going to make it happen, you know, that's just wrong. So Paul is giving course correction to the church at Corinth, and he is reminding us as well that, and what it, the other thing I wanted to mention here in manifesting God's presence, if we are motivated by God's love, we don't have to try so hard. We don't have to do it. We don't even have to worry about how we say things. If my motivation in talking with someone or speaking or whatever is out of love, then I don't need to do anything. I can read the word. God can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And I remember one of my pastors in Canada was always frustrated, because people would come out, that's in the day where, you know, maybe I should do this again. But the pastor would always meet people at the door and shake their hand on the way out. And even if people didn't want to, I think the people who didn't want to went out a side door or something. But the ones that would pass by, you know, they say, well, I so appreciated your message this morning. And, you know, God really showed me this, or I really heard this morning. And he's like, I didn't say any of that. None of this was in my message. I don't know where they got this. Like, I don't even think they were listening. And, you know, and yet part of that was tongue in cheek, of course, because you realize, huh, the Holy Spirit was working this morning. And so what he was saying, the Holy Spirit was taking his words and then just causing them to blossom out over the congregation. And people were hearing what the Holy Spirit wanted them to hear that day. And so when we're manifesting God's presence, we just are, you know, filled up with his love, and it just oozes out over us. And I remember Fuchsia Pickett years ago would say, we're just called to be oozing Christians. We should just ooze God's love on people. And the last section of this, of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, as we make our way through here, in verses 26 through 40, the gifts are for strengthening others. Now, in our day of incredible polarization, sometimes the others who are not us, the others, the ones outside, the ones who are not one of us, you know, the us and them thing, it's really hard to even consider others. We kind of have a tendency to reject others or those who have different opinions. And so the idea of strengthening others is a stretch sometimes. But this is what Paul's talking about here. And so in verse 26 of this chapter, he says, beloved friends, what does all this imply? Everything he's talked about up until now. When you conduct your meetings, you should always let everything be done to build up the church family. Whether you share a song, praise, teaching, a divine revelation, or a tongue or interpretation, let each one contribute what strengthens others. So he's now moving us beyond just the doors. Let everything be done to strengthen others. So what does that do to us four and no more? It's like, oops. And so the church is in receipt of this incredible gift of not just salvation, eternal life, but also all of the giftings of the Trinity that are made available to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. All of that is given to us, but not just for us. Sometimes we forget that what we've been given is to be given away. And Jesus, of course, was the prototype on that. Everything that Jesus had when he came, the whole purpose of his life on earth and his public mission was to give it away, to share what was the Father's love mission. And so the gifts are for strengthening others, to include others in this amazing life that we've been given. And it takes us away from the flesh. It takes us away from the ego-driven stuff. It takes us away from all of the things that we want just to consume for ourselves. Because the more we give, the more we receive. It just keeps getting filled up. His mercies and his compassions are renewed every morning. And scripture tells us in the Old Testament. And so we don't need to fear giving away what's been given to us, because his supply is endless. And he will just keep giving and giving and giving, as the song says. And if you had a chance to listen to that updated hymn that the guy sang all four parts to, which is pretty cool. But yeah, he gives and he gives and he gives more grace. And so as we focus, as we take all of the swirling, screaming, yelling, ranting all around us, and the horrible human abuses around the world. And we look at all of that and we say, what is our starting place? Our starting place has to be the fact that God has chosen us and he's loved us and adopted us and put us in his kingdom, accepted us in the beloved, sharing the inheritance with Jesus. We are co-inheritors. That's just incredible. And so no wonder Paul, I think, is taking this length of time, these many words, all of chapters 12, 13, and 14, to set things right and to say, well, we want this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order, not of chaos. And so do things in that way, motivated by love. And as we do those things, as we exercise our spiritual gifts, we have an opportunity to see a change in the world around us. And if there was ever a day when we needed to see God's love manifest in our society, it's certainly today. I mean, not only today, but certainly in our day, there's so much ugly noise. And so those are real issues and they can't be ignored. But the way we address them, I think, is out of this incredible love that the Father has for us. Especially when we consider, it's because today is we're going to be sharing communion in a moment. And the way this life and these gifts became ours is by the incredible sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It wasn't, oh, I think I'll just toss down a few gifts out of heaven just to see what these people do. No, it required the death of the Son of God to bring reconciliation to us. And so it's been given to us at great cost. We sometimes forget, you know, I'm not much of a historian, unfortunately, and we sometimes can forget what we have today was bought at the price of great sacrifice on the part of great many people. And so same with our eternal life. It was paid for at great price. And so our response, not only to our salvation, to our being eternally in the beloved, but our response to being gifted by the Holy Spirit needs to be taken seriously. And we need to say, these gifts are still operating today. They're still for us to use, not just to enjoy for ourselves, but to manifest God's presence and then to strengthen others. And I don't know about you, but it would make my day, probably make my year, if someone would come up and after being with us for a while would say, God is truly among you. I'd be a happy guy for a long time after hearing something like that. And so I think, and that's what God wants. God wants us to manifest that. And he wants people to see that he's with us and he's among us. So as we pray, as we prepare our hearts to take communion this morning, just that awareness that what we have, these all that Paul has written in these three chapters in this letter to his church, is at great price. And not because we're deserving, you know, while we were dead in our transgressions and sins, Christ died for us. So he came when we were at our worst, and he loved us into his family. And so I think that's kind of where we can focus this morning as we prepare to share these communion elements. So let me pray for us this morning and let's prepare our hearts. Father, we want to still our hearts this morning, to calm all the raging torrent that's going on around us in the world. And we just want to center our focus on you. Center our focus on the finished work of the cross. As we take these elements, these two simple symbols, the broken bread, symbolizing your broken body on our behalf, and the juice, symbolizing your shed blood on our behalf, so that there could be reconciliation, so there could be rejoicing in heaven, so there could be the opportunity to begin giving away what we've received. So as we take these elements this morning, in our hearts we say, thank you. It's not enough, but it's all we can say. Thank you for life. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for this great love that sent the Holy Spirit with the gifts to accompany us on this journey, to give us regular course correction when things get a little off track. We thank you that we come freely and we remember you each time we take of this meal. So, Father, we just repeat our thanks to you. Thank you for reminders that it's in you that we find life and healing. So we bless you today for the freedom that is ours to come and to be reminded. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I thought maybe would be great for us to do, if we found ways that we can remind ourselves to keep the main thing the main thing. We all need strategies in our day to bring us back from the brink when we hear all the stuff, and to come back and kind of the eye of the storm, the center thing. God is the most important in spite of. And so are there scriptures? What things can we share with each other that that we found effective in pulling us back from the brink? And I mean, I know for me it's getting quiet, getting still. And so that kind of forcing myself kind of out of the fray and just having time to just sit and not have to process a whole lot of things is really helpful. And then beyond that, of course, worship music is a great way to bring my heart back from the edges, you know, because it's so easy to get bad news or to hear stuff that you don't want to hear and whatever. And we, in spiritual direction, we often talk about the movements of our soul. And, you know, sometimes we're contented and everything is great. And when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name, the song says. And then we get distressing news, or we get something that causes fear to come in, and all of a sudden our souls move to a place filled with a whole lot less light, and it gets dark. And so, yeah, so quiet and worship music are two of the things that really recenter me, refocus me, help me to remember, oh yeah, God's still in charge, even though there's chaos right outside the door. So let's, any other things we can share that?
Angela? Well, you know, lately in the news, I just talk to God and tell him I don't get it. But I say that he does. Mm-hmm. He understands everything in that scripture, like the government is on his shoulder. I don't have to try to, you know, I'm not in control. And of course, worship music or just singing when I'm home alone, you know, but that helps me to not think about it, or, you know, but think of other things that are good. Mm-hmm. Are people hearing us?
Yes. Jenny says yes.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about how the gifts are for building up the body of Christ. I remember quite some time ago now, Joe and I went to a conference on the prophetic in Goshen, Indiana. Mm. And the main speaker was a guy named John Paul Jackson. Maybe some of your own know who he was. And he was talking about the prophetic and so forth. And when he started out, he was in a church, you know, he had a pastor and so forth, and he began to realize he had this gift, and the Lord would show him things, and he would go to the pastor, and he would say, the Lord has shown me such and such, you know, and the pastor would say, okay, all right, it's interesting, and then the pastor most of the time wouldn't do anything about it. I mean, he wouldn't say anything about it to the congregation or change anything that was going on, you know. Once in a while he would, but mostly he wouldn't. And John Paul Jackson said he just got more and more frustrated because God was showing him these things and the pastor wasn't doing anything about it. So he finally got down on his knees before the Lord, what's going on here? And God told him, you just need to get in order. You need to get in order. You're under the pastor here, and you are just here to serve him. And so You tell him what you see or something like that, and then you just leave it up to him and me. You know, it's not you. It's not you. And he said, after that, things just got a whole lot smoother all the way around, you know, and he just got himself in order and realized, you know, and he realized probably most of the time the Lord was showing him these things just so that he could pray about them himself, you know, or whatever. But I remember this was one of his main points about the prophetic. You really have to be careful with how you use it, and you have to do it in order.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I've been in a service before where someone came in for the first time and had a word and stood up and started railing on the congregation and expressing God's wrath and whatever. And this person was going on for a while, and the pastor finally just quietly got up to the pulpit and said, we're just going to ask you to respectfully sit down, and we're not going to receive this word this morning. I think it was just very gentle rebuke, but, you know, she sat down, she didn't leave, but, you know, because, I mean, it was really cringeworthy there for a while, which was being said. So, yeah, we do need to be able to bring, because in order, there's also the expression of God's love, and that manifests his presence, so. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think for me, I mean, there's a lot of things that help, but the biggest one is just listening to declarative worship songs and script, you know, remembering some of the old scripture songs from back in the 70s and singing those at the top of my lungs, which I tend to do in the car when I'm by myself because too shy to do it in front of people. But yeah, those are the things that will help me kind of like, okay, all of this is out of my hands. You know, what is truth? And this is truth. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like reorients me and helps me to focus on the right things instead of the circumstances. So.
Yeah.
Right. Deanna's got something.
Oh, yeah. Deanna?
Well, I want to share something that my friend does. I wish it was me, but I'd like to implement it. But when we go out to dinner with them, they don't make them food the main thing, but the waitress, by saying sincerely, they always go, hey, how can we pray for you today? You know, and it's really, I watched the waitress and waiter just open up their heart, and it's just such a good ministry opportunity. And I just love that the main thing wasn't the food, but the human being serving the food. I just thought that was beautiful. And I want to implement that someday. Wish I said I could, but I just want to share that.
Good.
That's good.
That's great.
Yeah. Earl Swinger.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's stopping, you know, when my mind is racing and and just stopping and getting into the word and being reoriented in the word. And basically everybody's saying that here, but you know, when I've kind of gone back to Psalm 1 recently, so, and just saying, this is good, this is not good, this is where you want to position yourself. I just appreciate God guiding firmly, lovingly, authoritatively where his little sheep need to be. And so I find that reorienting me in the word is, that's what happens. It's good. The other thing is often reflecting back on the lives, as imperfect as our lives are, the lives of Christians that really wanted to serve the Lord and did what they could, and where their heart was set towards walking in Christ and sharing the gospel, and just I love reading Christian biographies. That helps me a lot, because you know, there, when you review their whole life, all of a sudden you realize God was faithful all along, and there were probably some really, really, yeah, super hard times. Some event of their life was a martyr, you know, they were martyrs, like Bonhoeffer. But that really, it's like, oh, the struggle that I'm getting, that I might feel, you know, that's common to all these people that I've read about. So it's not an anomaly. It's like, this is, you know, does that make sense? So mm-hmm. that's helped me a lot.
Good. Yeah.
Again, as you've stressed, I think love is the key. Love is the key.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in more than one church I've been in, you know, people analyze, what does it take to get people who come in the door to stay? And if you do kind of interviews, questionnaires with them and so forth, but the ones who stay, what they almost always say is, I just felt loved there. I just felt welcome. I felt good there. You know, it all starts with love. It has to be done in love. Lord, help us.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts come to mind? Not my horse and cotton. Can you fucking pray for us?
Thank you.